Tuesday, October 26th. The main action today was on the UN vote. President had me in this morning and called Rogers to discuss that and the European Security Conference trial balloons that have been floated by Brezhnev and Pompidou. President told Rogers to keep it cool on that, that we should not let the press push us into it, that it would be a mess right now. He also assured Rogers that he'd wait till tomorrow to get a report from Henry on the China advance, since Henry gets back this evening or late this afternoon. He did some schedule shifting for the week so that he could spend a good deal of time with Conley this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon, since he leaves on Thursday. The UN vote has, of course, stirred up the conservatives substantially, and Attorney General called with considerable concern. Reagan had been very upset last night and tried to reach the president after midnight, and the president returned the call this morning. Reagan feels that the president should go on television and make a big thing that we won't abide by any UN votes in the future, etc. The president explained to him why we couldn't do that, because we're relying on the UN routes to try to resolve the India-Pakistan situation. And that apparently didn't calm him down much. Rogers called Reagan later and thought he had made some headway, saying we're going to sleep on the whole thing and see how it works out. But then Reagan saw Rogers on television later saying that we weren't going to suspend funding of the UN because of the vote. And that got Reagan all upset again. He thinks that he talked to the Attorney General after that and said that he thinks we've at least got to call Bush down for consultation, that there should be a strong presidential statement saying we'll no longer abide by UN votes. And that at the very least, he should take a strong stand on cutting funds before Congress does it beneath him. Mitchell tends to agree, feeling that if we don't do that and take the line we're taking now, which is leaving it up to Rogers as a spokesman, it leaves the president behind the parade. Later, Mitchell talked to Bill and Jim Buckley at my suggestion, and also Goldwater. He determined that the Reagan line and suggestions had come from Bill Buckley, and that Jim Buckley feels basically the same as Bill Buckley does. Goldwater was in Tucson last night and said there was quite an uprising over the news, and also a problem at the Republican luncheon today, that he thinks that now that we're pulling on our horns on foreign aid and the currency reform and all that sort of thing, that the little nations are now flaunting their independence. Mitchell feels there are some very negative political factors and that the president's going to get the blame for it all because of Peking. He doesn't think we need to do anything in a hurry, but he feels the president should do something personally to get the initiative on this. The president's urging that we get Sam Devine and some of the other congressmen to move out on cutting UN funds and that sort of thing, and also wants Kissinger to call Reagan and try and get it squared away with him. Later in the day, he got to thinking we would call Bush down, which we've now done, and that we might remove him from the UN and reassign him to NATO or something like that, and just leave the UN sitting there or downgrade it with a lesser appointment. The president called me at home later this evening and said that he had had his talk with Henry, who's back from China, and that Henry had called Reagan, as I asked him to do, and will also call Buckley. The president makes the point that we need to keep the right wing on track. Their plan is to keep Bush down here 2 or 3 days, which will shake him up a little at the UN, and that in some way we'll say we're disgusted by their performance. He feels that beyond that, there's nothing we can do about it. We just have to ride it through. We have to see if Kissinger can keep Reagan in line and try to do so with Buckley also. and that we just got to keep Reagan from jumping off the reservation. He does want to make it clear to the conservatives that the president fought the China battle as hard as he could, and the right wing should understand that, and that the point here is that we mustn't be defensive with them. They've got to face up to the fact that we have common enemies, and that the people they should be after are the UN, not the president. We had a fairly long discussion this morning also on China guidance before Henry got back. The president's now concluded that Pat Nixon's got to go on the trip because of the way Henry set things up, but that if she goes, none of her staff are to go, but she has to have an advance man to handle her activities. She should be separately scheduled, take no women's press along with her, should not ride with the president. Also, Rose should be lectured cold turkey that she is going along, but she's to work for everybody. We should go with a very thin staff. Rogers can take a secretary, but not his wife. And the president wants to review personally the specific man-by-man lists of people to go along on the trip. He says he will approve Teddy White going on the basis that we need an historian and somebody who understands the China situation, that we should get some mileage out of it with Teddy, though, that we're presidents made this decision over other people's advice, etc., and is going to let him go. He made the point that we've got to move now to get Kissinger under control on backgrounders. He doesn't want to have him give so many because he feels they build up the man who's doing the backgrounding rather than the president. He's talked to Ehrlichman about this, too, apparently. End of October 26th. Going back over the weekend for a minute, the phone sheets show that as a result of the meeting the president had with Rogers and Bush on Friday to discuss UN-China strategy, the president made some phone calls to put pressure on some of the nations to vote. He called Colombo of Italy, King Hassan of Morocco, Echeverria of Mexico, and I believe a couple of others, which would show in the log. The point he made afterwards was that he had gone way beyond what one would expect the president to do, and that we must not put the word out of the calls that he made, because of course we failed in the vote. Some of the calls did manage to save a vote or at least move it to the abstention column, but wasn't enough to keep Taiwan in.